Blog Talk Radio. God and Father, and we want to keep our conscience clear today and always through your grace. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, let's play some music here.
Smashing idols, purify the temple. Everything in heaven's going. things I did, you disqualify me. Life I'm living, really shouldn't be. To turn it all around, got my feet on solid ground. Put my trust in, oh, I put my trust in.
Sends out.
All righty. I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Well, let's get into the message. It's how to live a worry-free year. On the second Sunday of 2021, as you are turning to Matthew 6, I want to ask you a question. As we continue dealing with COVID virus and the challenge of staying COVID-free with businesses closing down, with loss of income, with parents becoming homeschool facilitators, is it possible to live a worry-free year? I feel like the man who said, "We do not know where we are going, but we are on our way." Buckle up. 2021 has finally arrived, and with it, some of the same challenges we faced in 2020. And I can prove it, this radio broadcast. Are you an excessive warrior? If 2020 has revealed anything, it reveals who the worry warts are. You may feel like the woman who always walks around long-faced, never laughs, never smiles. One day her friend asked her if she was feeling all right. She said, "Oh, I feel good today, but when I feel good, I always feel bad because I know it's just a matter of time until I feel worse." I believe I've met a few of her cousins. Did you know that most of the things you worry about never happen? Thomas Kepler wrote about a person who realized their fears were running and running their life. They began to keep track of what was worrying them and found 40% of things they worried about were things that never happened. 30% of things are going to happen and we cannot change. 12% of the things they worried about were just other people's opinions. 10% of the things they worried about were needless health worries. And 8% of the things they worried about were pretty miscellaneous worries. The conclusion was that half of the things we worry about never happen, and the other half will happen anyway, so why worry? Worry can't change the past, but it will ruin the present. The only place worry will get you ahead of time is the cemetery. It's like the person who said, "Don't tell me that worry doesn't do any good. I know better. The things I worry about don't happen." Hey, folks, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And yet, the rich worry because they are afraid of losing their wealth. The poor worry because they have no money. The educated worry because they know so much to worry about. The uneducated worry because they don't know enough to worry. The married worry about losing their spouse. The single worry because they have no spouse. So worry does not discriminate. We worry about things we do not have. We do have, and we worry about things we don't have. And all this worry is preventing us from reaching our potential that God has planned for us. So can we live a worry-free in 2021? Is the worry-free life in 2021 even possible? Remember what the angel said to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And how we need to say along with Mary in verse 38, let it be to me according to your word. Now, when you come to Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, you're stepping into the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He just finished saying in verse 24b, "You cannot serve both God and money." And then in verse 25 begins with the word "therefore." In other words, in light of what I just finished saying, now do this. So we are to do verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life." In fact, he's going to tell us that three times in this verse, only here in verse 25, then again in verse 31, "So don't worry," and again in verse 34, "Therefore, don't worry." Now, here's what that tells me. God will involve me in living a worry-free 2021. And when I'm living full of worry, rather than free of worry, I'm missing out on his blessing and his best. I want for you in 21, what Paul wanted for the believers of Corinth when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, "I want you to be free from all worries. I want you to be without concerns." So how do you live worry-free in 2021? Well, let's hear from Jesus starting in Matthew chapter 6, 25, and read down through verse 34 as we learn how to live a worry-free in 2021. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow, reap, or gather in the barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all splendor was adorned like one of theirs. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what we will eat, or what we will drink, or what will we wear. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, as we walk through these verses together, I want you to give you three words to write down, like hooks to hang your coat on. Here are the three words, like the hook you can hang your life on, that's going to help you live a worry-free life in 2021. Now, pay attention, especially you worry wards. Jesus tells us three times in these verses not to worry. You say, Kenneth, I cannot stop worrying. That's like saying you cannot stop committing adultery, or you can't stop stealing, or you can't stop unforgiving. It's not that you cannot, you will not. Do you think Jesus, who is full of love and mercy, would command us not to worry if we couldn't? Of course he wouldn't. He commands us not to worry knowing we can choose not to worry. If you can choose to worry, then you can choose not to worry. Amen? By the way, throughout the Bible, whenever you come across a command given by God, you can know it when it gives it, he gives us what we need in order to follow it. There are no unfollowable commands. So what is worry? The word literally means to be pulled apart in two different directions. Worry means to tear apart, to come apart at the seams. Worry not only tears you apart, it tears you down. Do you know what worry really is? It's your personal irritation with God. There is this thing going on in your life that God allowed, and you cannot control it. Soon your mind starts focusing on what might happen. So what to do? You do worry, fret, wring your hands, panic. I heard about a man who was so ill with worry that he decided to build a worry box. He decided to deal with worrying one day a week. He chose Wednesday. So when anything happened that gave him anxiety, he would write it down and put it in his worry box and forget about it until the following Wednesday. Well, when Wednesday rolled around, he opened his worry box. He found that most of the things that had settled in the past 6 days were already settled. He saved himself a lot of wasted worry. Some of you are worrying for nothing, and if you continue to worry, you're going to hurt your health. Dr. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic said, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, the whole nervous system, and profoundly affects the health. I have never known a man to die of overwork, but many who died of worry. America's finest physicians are now saying that worry is the mother of cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, and ulcers. That's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you. No wonder Jesus tells us in verse 25, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? He's not condoning laziness, he's condoning worry. Don't let your circumstances dictate your obedience and trust in God. So the first word to help us live a worry-free in 21 is verse 26. He says, the birds of the sky, they don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? So consider how inferior the birds are to us. They cannot plant a crop, produce a crop, pray over a crop, and yet God takes care of them. So if you're worrying yourself sick these days, the COVID virus or your circumstances, when you walk outside in a few minutes, just observe the birds in the air. If God takes care of them, how much more is he going to take care of you? his purchased possession. In verse 27, can you add one moment to this lifespan by worrying? Some translations say, which of you by worrying can add one cubit, 18 inches, to his stature? You say, whether it's adding one moment to my lifespan or adding any height to my stature by worrying is silly. You're correct. It cannot. It's a waste of time. That's what Jesus is saying. Worry can't produce a better tomorrow or change yesterday, but it can spoil a perfectly good today. In verse 28-30, then why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet, I tell you that not even Solomon in all splendor was adorned like one of these. Is that how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the surface tomorrow? Won't he do much more for you of little faith? A third grade teacher was trying to instruct a class on how to use fractions. She asked a little boy in the front row, what is 3/4 of 5/16? He said, I don't know exactly what it is, but that's not enough to worry about. Now, Jesus tells us in verse 30 that worry is a faith issue. Ye of little faith. Do you know what worry really is? It's unbelief. Worry is the outward expression of inward unbelief. Your worry says to God that you don't believe he can handle your situation, or that you do believe he can handle it, but won't. George Mueller said the beginning of worry is the end of faith. The beginning of faith is the end of worry. So what we need is a solution to our worry-free life. How do we live a worry-free throughout this year? How can we have peace when our circumstances are caving in all around us? Here's what you've been waiting for. The solution to living in worry-free 2021, and it's found in verse 33-34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. See, verse 33, seek first is one of those present tense verbs which speak of continued action. You could say seek first and keep on seeking first. There is something for us to seek first every hour, every day, every week, every month. And by seeking this first, our worries will begin to fade. So what are we to be seeking first? Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Hey, rather than worrying like the unbelievers do, focus your attention on the things of God. And listen to this, that as you focus on the things of God, he will take care of your needs. And yet, what's the first thing we tend to do when problems come or when a crisis comes? We take our focus off the things of God and onto the problems. We drop out of small groups. We drop out of the choir. We drop our quiet time. We drop our prayer time. We drop our time in God's Word. We drop out of fellowship. And we end up in the wilderness of worry. So listen to the words of Jesus again in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, those things that you've been worried about, shall be added to you. I can hear some of you saying, I can't just stop worrying about this thing. Yes, you can. Listen to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust the Lord forever, because the Lord himself is everlasting rock. Do you know what the opposite of worry is? It's trust. When trust moves in, worry moves out. When worry moves in, trust moves out. Do you know what trust means? The word carries the idea of having your face down on the ground, just lying there with your face on the ground before God, just having confidence in God in every circumstance. Look up here. You either worry or you trust. Let me give you one more passage of scripture that's a part of a big portion of solutions to living worry-free in 2021. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So notice that Paul begins in verse 6 with worry, and then ends in verse 7, I'm talking about peace. And between worry and peace is prayer. Do you know what worry robs you of? Peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, for he is our peace. Here is what Jesus tells us about living and working free in 2021. If you will put me first, I will take care of all your needs. Trust in him, because worry to flee. One day a man visited a clockmaker's shop where he saw a pendulum that was attached to a new timepiece. He thought the clock was expected to tick night and day for decades, 60 times a minute, 360 times every hour, multiplying the number of ticks in the hour by 24, and that figure is 365. He came up with a staggering total of nearly 190 million ticks every year. He imagined the poor pendulum thinking, I can never do it. But a man thought, sure it can. It needs to only be one tick at a time. Hey, folks, life is hard by the yard and cinched by the inch. So verse 34, therefore don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Amen. If any of you out there do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, here's your chance to. If you're suffering from depression, or maybe anxiety and worry, or maybe something that's much worse, such as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, or overeating. That's okay. Okay, but you gotta put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, he will take those worries away and all those things away from you. So the question is, do you want to know Jesus? If so, simply say this prayer to me. Say, dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge you that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn from my sin. You said in your holy word, Romans 10:9, that if we confess the Lord of God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. And according to his word right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. So therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, I thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Did you pray and receive Christ? Please give us your name. And by doing it, you can do this by calling area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. So if you just said this prayer, we welcome you to the family of the Lord, and may the Lord bless you and may he keep you highly favored. Amen. Okay. Let's bring on Pastor Wanda. Hello, Pastor Wanda.
Praise the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in Psalm 18:24. I called yesterday, but it wasn't a show.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. Okay.
When I woke up,
it was 12 o'clock. I was like, oh, my God, I missed the show.
Well, listen, can I come back for what you were talking about? I was studying, and I've been talking to a lot of people. You'll have no worries. So it's amazing. He had me sitting out a lot of words, been getting me up at 3 o'clock. Now, in Jesus' name, Can I read this right here, my brother, to come back with what you said?
Yeah.
My brother. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. He says, trust me and refuse to worry, for I am your strength and song. You are feeling wobbly in the morning and the evening. Look at the biblical time loom ahead. Measurement them against your own strength. However, you are not today, today's task, or even tomorrow. So leave them in the future and come home to the present, where you will find me waiting for you. Since I am your strength, I can empower you to handle each task as they come. Because I am your song, I can give you joy as you work alongside me. Keep bringing your mind's lack in the present moment among all my creation and creatures. Only humans can anticipate future events. This ability is a blessing, but it is becoming a curse whenever you misuse it. If you use your to magnify the null to worry about tomorrow, you cloak yourself in dark unbelief. However, when the hope of the heavens fill your thoughts, the light of my presence envelops you. Though heaven is your future, it is also the present tense. As you walk in the light with me, you have 1 foot on earth and 1 foot in heaven. And if you have your Bibles, go to Exodus chapter, let me get my glass, 15:2. Okay. You got your Bible, Pastor? Okay. Hold on, Pastor. Ooh, hold on, Pastor. 15.
All right.
Hold on, I got to jump up. I'm hopping today. I've been out a lot. So I'm getting, okay. Worry is not of God. You can pray, praise, worship, sit in his presence, and to listen to him. See, the enemy wants you to worry. God wants you to worship. See, we have a choice to worship or to worry. And we can bring everything at the feet of Jesus, take it to the grace of throne to receive mercy in time of need. Each and every day we need mercy, seven and every hour. And as I have sitting, and then God, he is in control. When things upset you, you got to go and you have your quiet room, and to go to the master. And I was talking to many ladies, but you don't know my situation, but God knows. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. And when you sit in the presence of God, he fills you with joy, peace. He gives you everything you need. And sometimes he just wants you to just sit. You don't even have to say anything. And you can bring anything. So with me, I write things out, and I put it in my Bible. And I give it to God. And when I give it to him, it's something totally different. It's a relief. And it's knowing that you have an almighty God that's going to take care of you. And if you ever look at your life, I look at things, a person says, oh, how this going to happen. Do not get in front of God. See, we live moment by moment, and we don't know what tomorrow promise. So that's why he tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow have enough words for itself. And a lot of people jump in front of God, and that's when anxiety, depression, a lot of things come that does not supposed to come. So when you say, I thank you for this day, because when you look at Psalm 18:4, he said, this is the day. He didn't say, this is tomorrow. This is 2 weeks later. A lot of people go way beyond, and they miss out on the blessing just today. Peace, Isaiah 26:3, he said, those that keep their mind on him keep you in perfect peace. So when we get in the word in 15:2 in Exodus, did I say Exodus, brother? Thank you, Lord. All right. I'll be in Exodus 15:2. So come back, everything that we read. And I thank God for the pastor by this word. A lot of people looking at COVID-19. God is saying stop acknowledging COVID and start acknowledging him. Even what's going on, we are not from this world. When we learn to understand that God been doing this a long time, he is the Almighty. He's not somebody, and there's nothing impossible for God to do. So when you bring it to the feet of Jesus or to bring it to the throne of grace, he already knows, just like in Psalm 139, he knows everything about you. He knows this day because he's in control. So when we get take it out of our hands and give it to him, even when our kids, marriage, sickness, or anything that goes on in life, you give it to Jesus. That's why he said, cast our burdens upon him, because he cares in 1 Peter 5:7. He didn't tell us to hold it. That's what a lot of times he don't want self-reliance. He wants us to be unreliant and give it to him. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. In Psalm 16, Exodus 15, and the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my victory. He is my God, I'll praise him. He is my Father God, and I'll exalt him. Okay? And then we go on down to 3. See, when you bring the Lord on the scene, it's not my problem. You have Jesus, you have the most powerful name to call upon. Just sit with it. So when you look at 2, it says the Lord is. It didn't say the Lord might be, the Lord is. So it's personal. And God wants to be heard. He's my strength, he's my song. He has become my victory. He is my God. That's personal. That ain't saying, oh, I think God is. He is. Well, ain't no worry, because he's going to take care of you. If you are a child of God, you have no worry. You have victory each and every day. And it said, and I will praise him. He is my Father. So when I looked at that, I circled everything the Lord is, what he's to me. Okay? And then we go to verse 3. The Lord is a warrior. Yes, the Lord is his name. He's letting you know, I will take care of you. I'm going to bring you victory. Let's go to the next one. All right. You got the most powerful name in sort of 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Okay. Thank you, Father God. All right. That'll be chapter 10 and verse 5. He just gave me all this as I heard you speaking.
Amen.
It's amazing how God, he's going to confirm his word. And verse 10, and it says in the word of God, I'm going to go over a little bit farther. So we got to learn how to use the word of God. We come back, anything that comes against or anything that sets itself against God's word or against a child of God. Now, let's go. Verse 3. Let's go to 3. Okay? We are human, but we do not wage war with human plans and methods. We use God's mighty weapon, nor mere worldly weapon, to knock down the devil's stronghold. Verse 5. With the weapon, we break down every prior argument that keep people from knowing God. With the weapons, we conquer the rebellious idea, and we teach them to obey Christ. Amen? All right.
Amen.
We use the word of God. When word comes, you got to know the word of God. When fear comes, you got to have faith. When sorrow comes, you got to ask God to comfort you. It's like light and dark. See, the enemy brings darkness. See, and sometimes it can be a test. And in James 1, he said, count all joy and fall into the valley of temptation. So where that joy comes from, the knowing who he is and knowing who you are. Amen? So the last scripture I'll be going to is Hebrews 10 and 23. God, I'm going to tell you something. I had to tell a person. God has never lost a battle. And that's something. And I told somebody, they said, what you mean? I said, you never lost a battle. And I'm going to tell you why. After Hebrews. Thank you, Father God. I'm in Hebrews 10, verse 5. All right. Thank you, Lord. That is why Christ, when he came into this world, said, you do not want an animal sacrifice or grain of, but you have given me a body so that I may obey you. Okay? You have to obey God, his command. We're dealing with word. He told us in John 14, let not our heart be troubled. He don't want you to trouble. You have the grace. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you obey, okay, if you have received him as your Lord and Savior, you have a confident greater one lives in the dwelling inside. You have the King of Kings. You have the Holy Spirit that lives in the dwelling inside you. Okay? Amen. If you obeyed, they just have to get in there. Somebody stronger, they don't understand, and you take it to another brother or sister in Christ. I need you to pray with me if they don't know how to pray. Now, I'm going to tell you why we have victory. And God fights all your battles. Amen? In 1 Corinthians 15:56-57, you already won if you're on the team of Jesus Christ. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 15:56-57, he said, the sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who give us our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's already won. We're going to have tests. We have suffering, rejection. We have a lot of things, but we have the basic instruction before leaving this earth. We have the Bible. We have everything we need. This is your instruction. This is your manual. When you don't know anything, if you think you can worry, I look up everything on worry, but I look up on trust. So when God said trust him in Proverbs 3:5-6, he said trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding, but acknowledge him. Every time you acknowledge God and praise God, that confuses the enemy. Okay? You have victory. And I'm not going to take over the show in Jesus' name. And that's what God has given me. And I can go on because he's fighting the battle in Exodus 14:14. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God and bless the reading of the word.
Yes, you do a very good job there, Pastor Martin.
I don't do nothing. He gave it to me. I have studied a lot, and I could go on because I talk to people. Worry is not in the kingdom of God. We worship God. When you learn to worship God, there's no worry. When you learn to have pain, you got to praise. It's all come back, and God will show you in the word of God. One thing you got to do is look up words. Look up our trust. And when you look up trust, then that gives you more confidence in God. When you know who you are and when you can know you can call upon his name. You ain't got to do nothing. You can be still and know that he's God. He's going to take care. He's going to take care of you. Okay? And it's in the talk tonight. So how my brother doing tonight?
I'm doing blessed and highly favored.
Hallelujah. I'm blessed and ultimate favor, rejoicing in the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
All right, well, I've got some more callers. Let me bring them on. Okay. All right, I'm going to mute. Okay, here we go. 111.
Hello, is Pastor Wanda there?
Yes, she is.
Hi, Pastor Wanda. I just wanted to say how fantastic your sermon was.
Oh, that's not mine. Everything belongs to God. We just messengers. He gives the message.
Amen.
He let us be the messenger to bring forth and impart his word and knowledge and wisdom that he has given us. That's all.
Amen.
But
I run a ministry out in Orange County, California. And
amen.
I'm having issues attracting more people to my church. What do you suggest I do? What do you think are relevant topics which I can discuss with
church? No, listen. You ain't got to track anybody. Second of all, listen, you sit in the presence of God and you lay with me. When we didn't have a God had me run ministry, it's all right for me to talk to this pastor. Let me get things ordered because it's his segment tonight. Pastor Kenny?
Yeah.
It's all right for me to go on and impart because I'm under pastor. That's my pastor, okay? Pastor?
You're talking to me?
Yes.
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay, can I talk to him on this issue?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, you know, God, he said in 1 Corinthians 14:40.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that. The phone clicking. I got a lot of calls. Second of all, I write everything down. If God have given you and set it already up for you, if you got one person, if one person here, and see, the only thing you got to do is start saying, write out your vision. ask God, acknowledge Him through everything. Sit and worship God and ask God to bring them from the north, the west, and east, and the south, the one that's broken, hurt, the ones that you need to be in this ministry, okay, in the house of the Lord. When God allowed me
Amen.
To start, and when this, so we didn't have nobody, kind of. Okay?
Now, Pastor Wanda, I want to bring up, because Pastor Kenny understands how I've been leading people to my ministry. My dad had this great saying back in the 50s when he led my church, and I think this is important for all pastors to understand as well. In our job, in the Bible, Jesus talks about Jesus as the shepherd. We need to go forth and be shepherds too. And my dad was in the Coast Guard. Coast Guard. And when ships would get stranded, they had a thing called the breacher's buoy on the Coast Guard ships out in California. It's a line that you shoot to people. And what I say often is that we need to, as pastors, shoot more ropes out to people. I think we need to shoot ropes
yes,
to people, and we need to lead them forth.
Yes, sir. See, we're down here in Atlanta. Let me tell you how God has. I lay everything at His. I sit with God. I ain't talking about 1 or 2 hours. I sit. I be still and I have to listen, and He'll give me an instruction. And He sent me where He wants me to go. I don't go where I want. So He sent me on the highways and byways. He had me go in the stores. I might go in there. He had me singing, encouraging. And He had me passing out. Tell them, you're a beautiful person. Then they say, you know what? I haven't heard that. I say, you're beautiful in the eyesight of God. And He said, be fishermen. Okay? He gave me different things to say. And I said, what church you go to? And that's how God, He was bringing them. See, He sent me out, and he sent many men of us out. And all of us have different callings, and He has given me all. Okay? I have no problem saying that. I didn't want to accept it. And but it was like 10 people now, 10. And each time I kept on talking to God. God, this is your house. Send the people that you like to from the north, the west, the east, and the south. Next thing we know, we had 103 ladies staying in the house of the Lord. Then He started sending one volunteer, and they said, I met this lady. She was at the hospital. She was at the grocery store. So I stay behind this thing because I'm not gonna let anybody take God's glory. Saying I don't do anything. God is the one that.
Amen. I feel that.
In Zechariah 4:6, He says, not by the might of man or the power of man, but it's by His Spirit. So I ask the Holy Spirit to draw all His people, okay?
Yes, my goal. My goal is to have God come inside of all of these people. We just need these people to be penetrated deeply with the Word of God. And I think, what are some Bible verses that you think penetrate people that way? That gets God to come inside them.
So I had to talk to them about drawing near to God when the ones didn't know God. So God had me do Bible study 4 times a day, 365 days. Not on the same thing. He would give me different things. And then next thing I know, God was sending all the kids from the – so we were doing discipleship, showing them how to become a disciple. Train up the next leaders and stuff. So He started sending, this had happened. They called the police on there. Somebody went to open up the church and said I hadn't broken the house of the Lord. So I got all these ladies broken from the streets of Atlanta, worldwide, from Africa, from everywhere. And some couldn't speak English, some couldn't. And we didn't have anything. There was nothing, but God turned it into something. So it's beautified now as well. It was rat infestation. And I kept crying, God, He gave me wisdom because my great grandmama raised me. I was an orphan. And so all of a sudden, He showed me everything. So when the police came, I had just got off my knees. And the lady said, one of the angels, there are big angels beside you. You see them big heads. So she took the picture. And it's all God's glory. Okay. So next thing I know, they told me to come. It looked like Christmas outside. You don't have the lights. So I'm in Cobb County. And I'm an African American. They said, ma'am, you done broke in the house. You done broke in this church. I said, sir, I'm a daughter of a king. I don't have to break in anything. My God, my father owns everything. And I'm not here by myself. He's with me. I have surrendered and from the world to come serve him. I have 100 and some people. He said, ma'am, you ain't got 100 and some kids there. I know I had 70 kids and 80 women, I think. And the beds was all beside each other. I had pictures and everything. The pastors went there, so all of a sudden this would happen. I said, sir, I would like to, I don't have a weapon. I serve God every day, 365 days. Because he had been so good to me. So next thing I know, I said, I cut the light on, so I want to show you I'm not here by myself. I have walked away from everything of the world. Hello? A lot of, I have women and children here. He said, ma'am, you got women and children here? I said, yes, sir. So it's about, I can say about, you said about 15 police. Hello? Thank
Hello?
You, Father God. I hear a lot of noise. It was 15 police.
I thought I had myself muted. I was just going to the bathroom. I do apologize.
My ears are so sensitive, sir. I see he let me hear because when I used to couldn't walk and talk, couldn't do anything, I had to hear. I had to listen. That's all I had to do. And I know I hear I can what is that? But what the point is, the Lord, he done it. I said, Lord, I need help. I called on God first. I ain't called on man, okay? I didn't put nothing on the radio or TV. God has started sending. God sent 10,000 people for me to train up in one day. God. And I had 103, and he sent those many kids. I'm thinking we're just going to have 1,000. He sent 10,000. So I'm out there waving. Oh, no, but what happened? Okay, hold on. I made a mistake. So after the police, they had to come. I said, can I cut the light on? The light switch, sir. So, and I cut the lights on. Everybody bowed it. They bowed it. They hit it. It was so cold outside, like it's cold now. He said, ma'am, I'm so sorry. Ma'am, I said, I can call the pastor. I'm the overseer over all these women and children, and I sit up at night so they can sleep. Some are broken. I won't say why they're here, but they have no place to go, and we have opened up the ministration room for them to come eat. We don't put them out. They stay. They hear the word of God. They want to change their life. That's what they say. They want to surrender. They have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The police came. And they had to come hug me. They said, ma'am, you're here by yourself. I said, no, God is with me. I'm never by myself. And they said, we'll see you. We've been had things going on. I said, I have no fear. God have not given me a spirit of fear, of power, love, and a sound mind. Where God brought me from, he have equipped me to be able. I have no weapon. The weapon of warfare is not carnal, but mind through pulling a stronghold down and bringing everything into obedience to Jesus Christ. So as a God had me speaking, he said, whoa. He said, ma'am, hold up. Let's walk through here. He walked it all through there. The next thing I know, he locked all the doors, everything. He said, ma'am, we'll be driving by every night. So God did it like that. But the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good. So he starts having the police. So the police started coming. Then they started bringing stuff, clothes. Then they started bringing, it started being overflow. God started placing on their hearts that Islam in need, they had overflow in the house. Then they saw I want to volunteer. This will do that's how they did it. And then on Sunday, on Bible study night, we had Bible study 7 days a week. But then with the house of the church, the house of the Lord, called We the Church, we was going out on the highways and byways. Luke 19:10, go out and seek and save the lost. And so I'm saying, I want to go. So God started sending people from the north, the west, the east, south, even from Florida, Africa. He sent them all around the world and started being a part. And they want to join this church. And that's how God did. But we wrote out our vision, made it plain, and God says he won't. He run with it. It might tear, but it will come to pass. And it's like in, that's in Habakkuk. So that's what it was. So then about the tithing, I didn't have money. Through me working with the Lord, everything he said you do with your hand is blessed. So I stayed writing. I wrote to God every day. He would give me an assignment. And that's how, with you, sir, it's already done. Only thing you got to start thanking God, and he's going to bring it to pass, sir. Write it out. Sit in the presence of God and watch God show up. And show. I told God to show up and show out. That's why I tell him, show your Shekinah glory just like he showed to Moses. Okay? Just like Joshua. And just like Joshua 1 said, he said, let not this book of laws depart from your mouth, but meditate on day and night so you will have good success and you'll prosper. It ain't nothing God will not give you if he didn't withhold Jesus from us. He just waiting on you. Write it out.
Amen.
What's the vision out, son? Write it out.
Oh, I got to take some more callers here, Pastor Wanda.
Go ahead.
You see, let me see who we got.
I can get off. You want me to get off right now?
No, you don't have to get off. You can listen in. You might ask some questions for you.
Okay. I'm going to put it on mute right quick, okay?
Okay.
I love you.
111, you're on the air.
Hello. This is Dudley Bell. How do
you? How you doing?
Clark, I just wanted to say, Pastor Wanda takes a long time. It's hard to understand her. I get the master, and I get but she talks too fast. It's hard for me because I'm deaf, so it's hard for me to understand what she says. If she could talk slow, because I could understand word for word, and it'd be a great blessing.
I apologize, sir. That's how God had made me, because I used to be, I'm going to talk a little slow for you. I used to be artistic, and I couldn't walk, talk, or anything. Can you understand me now?
Yes.
Hello? So
yes,
I couldn't do anything. I was slow at everything that I done, even speech. Like I'm talking to you, I didn't talk like this. I could not speak at all. Thank you, Lord. So I asked God to make me fast in anything that he wants me to do, even when I speak and get up there sometime. It's him that makes me talk fast. Because I get excited. And it's amazing because I know I'm supposed to be dead, sir. But God, through his mercy and grace, have saved me. And what I was talking to the other pastor, I was telling him what he must do, what he want his request to God. In Habakkuk chapter 3, write out your vision, make it plain, and see won't he run with it. It might tarry, but it will come to pass. I told him to sit in the presence of God. Psalm 16:11, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And God will bring, so I gave him an illustration of how God moved behind writing things to God. And when I was in a ministry, and God did it. That's all I have to say. God. See, and when the enemy kept all things, sir.
Yes, sir. Sir. Yeah.
So some things happened to try to shut the ministry down and bring charges against me. God, he intervened. They called and left. Somebody went and opened the church up and said, I broke in. Do you understand me, sir?
Yeah.
So God brought the officers came, and I had 103 people stayed there, sir, women and children, 70 kids and 80 ladies.
God. Praise God.
And 7 days a week, 365 days. Four times a day, I spoke the word of God, ministered, encouraged. Hold it, ladies. Seen about them. Saw him heart stop. He had me lay hands, call forth the resurrection. It's a lot of things that God had me to do. It's not I did anything. Amen? And that's what I was speaking to the other pastor about, to bring. You want God to move, you got to call upon him. He's going to move. He already know his life. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Okay, I got to take another caller here. Okay. Let's keep this going. It's getting good. Hello, 111.
Hello. This is Johnny Longfeather. I wanted to know if Pastor Wanda's son was single, because I want him to come to my casino and let me suck on his long black cock.
I bind you up in the mighty name of Jesus and call forth the fire of God. No weapon formed against any of my kids or this ministry shall prosper. Shed it down. Shed it down. We have no tolerance for this. We go
outside. Yeah, bye. He's gone.
All right. It is. Tell him why. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. I'll pass the test. I've been through a lot of testing today. I've been up since 4 o'clock, Pastor, warring for God's people. I have a child I got to go rescue. They had been abducted. I got a lot of things that God got me doing. I have zero tolerance. Thank God. I thank God for him getting on there, because I'm going to laugh at the enemy because he has no authority. I have all the authority that God has given in Jesus' name.
Okay. Let's try another one. Okay. All right. 111, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor Wanda, how big is your son's penis, and can I suck on it, please?
Shut it down. You work for Slater.
Yeah.
You have no authority. You have no authority.
Yeah, but I hung up on him. Okay. Let's try another one. 111, you're on the air.
It is Slater. Jesus.
111, you're on the air.
Hey, Kenny, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry about that. I didn't say unmuted. This is Randy. How's it going, Ken? How are you?
Not bad, Randy. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. And is this Pastor Wanda's son on the line?
No, sir. My son, listen, that's another pastor speaking. That I was imparted. See, and yet
that's
the other day. See,
well, I'm sorry, no, sir, if I can speak, please. I'm just trying to say something. My time is very short. You keep talking over people. I'm just trying to just get my point across real quick, if you don't mind. Amen. I'm sorry, Pastor Wanda's son. Amen. Amen.
My son is not on the phone.
I apologize. This is Pastor Wanda.
Yes, sir. See,
I'm
just
so sorry.
Have.
I apologize. I misunderstood some of the other callers. I apologize.
No, sir. Listen, God. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, a quick question for you. I just want to first let me just clarify, because I'm a little confused for the other phone callers. Are you a male or female? I apologize. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you. You'll know if I'm a male or female. I'm Wanda Smith. I am a daughter of a king. I have eight kids.
So, sir, what I was gonna ask.
I am a woman.
Really
woman
out there, sir. You like women. I know. I like women too, and we're all God bless women. What I want to do is just ask you a quick question, sir, if you don't mind.
I am a lady. Listen, young man.
Okay.
I am a woman.
I like ladies too. I understand. Can I just please say what I'm saying, sir? I want to ask the question, and that's
I
it.
I am not a
okay?
sir.
So,
not
sir,
a sir,
if you don't mind me asking, I do have a man-to-man question. I have been dating another gentleman. I'm a homosexual as well, as just like Pastor Ken. Amen. How do you, as a person who I guess you are a straight male, correct? Because you said you like women. Is that correct, sir? I guess the gentleman hung up, Ken.
I'm a lady, young man. Huh. I am a lady. God,
you're elated.
Changed
my
book.
I'm happy too. I'm happy you're on the line. I'm elated too. You're elated. Ken's elated. We're all elated. We are very happy
no,
that you're on the
say
line.
That. No, listen, young man. I am a lady. A lady.
Yeah.
L-A-D-Y.
Yeah, I
lady.
Am elated too. I'm telling you. I don't know what we're arguing about. I agree. I'm happy. You're happy. Ken's happy. We're all happy. Amen. Amen. So, back to the question. At what point in time should two men first kiss on a date? Is it the first date, second, third date? What would you say, sir? And the gentleman's not going to answer me for some weird reason. I was asking him a question, and it seems like he's clamming up on me. Ken, why don't you tell me what would be normal? Like if I'm trying to kiss a dude on a, you know, what date? Like the first date, second date, third date.
Whichever one you felt comfortable with, I think that would be the date to kiss them.
Yeah.
Whenever you felt comfortable.
So kissing's not like.
That
yeah,
would
so
be
kissing's
about.
Kissing's not like. It doesn't have to be on the first date kind of thing, right?
No, it doesn't. Set my boundaries. Second date.
Second date typically. And Mr. Wanda, what would you say?
No, stop calling Wanda names. Stop being amusing.
Well, at what point in time would you start sucking off Wanda's son's dick? What date?
Goodbye. All right. Okay, let's bring on Doug here. Okay. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing tonight?
I'm just listening to your show here. Boy, Randy was going off there a little.
Yeah, just a little bit.
He don't know how to respect Pastor Wanda.
No,
right?
He's not. Listen, how you doing, sir? He's not coming at me. He's coming at the God in me. See, I don't know what's his problem, but, you know, until God, he's going to reveal it. Because, see, I don't have to defend myself because it says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises, we bring condemnment. Isaiah 54:17. I don't have to fight not one battle. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. God just changed my vocal box because somebody poisoned me. And I stayed in the hospital a long time. And when he gave me this vocal box, because I didn't speak for, I can't even tell you. And when I started back speaking, it was harder than this. And it was with a lot of authority. And it scared my own kids. So they didn't even, they cried when I started speaking. And this is what God gave me, sir. I had tubes and cameras bleeding from my stomach. I was poisoned and had bleeding also and with a baby, sir, in Grady Hospital. And I just, yes, sir. But all
amen.
For God's will. That's for God's
amen.
Will.
Yeah, I'm glad God brought you through that.
Oh, he done brought me through many things, sir. That's one testimony. The testimony God has given me, and I don't have to fight because he's my I am. And that's the name of what he told me. When I come in the I am. I don't come in my name. So they're not coming against me, and God, he will take care of that. And I ask God for mercy and blessing. I have no words, no ill to say about no man, woman, because to forgive them for what they not know not what they do. As Jesus on the cross, that's the same thing I would do for them. Okay? In Jesus' name.
Well, hey, Pastor Wanda.
Amen.
Amen. We have 90 seconds left. Would you like to pray us out?
I have no problem with that. It's an honor and a privilege to go before the Master. take a deep breath, close your eyes, and bow and reverence the living God. The grace and power we come to the grace of Thorn, Lord, you're awesome and almighty God. And Father God, I can call upon the name whose word to be praised. I thank you for being the head of my life. I thank you for saving and giving us salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thank you for every hearer. And Father, bless the young man. Bless each one who have called in. And Father, you know what goes on. And you tell us to count it all joy in James 1. And Father, bless him. And Father God, today is a great day because you created all days, good and bad, Father God. And but Father God, we can just give you thanks in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You give us every word to stand on. I stand on every promise, and I decree and declare the word of God over this ministry, over every hearer right now, Father God. And Father God, you see what's going on in the land in Washington. You know what to do, Father God. And Father God, we just need your help. The ones in the hospital, under the highways and byways, this cold, Father. The ones that lost everything, Father. The children, the next generation, the orphans, the elders, Father God. The veterans. And Father God, we just need you to move by your might, by your power, Father God, in Zechariah 14. And Father God, there's nothing too hard for you, but you said we will have times like this. But we thank you in advance, Father God. And as we go into sleep and slumber, Father God, keep your mighty angels encamped around in Psalm 34:7. Cover us with the blood of the Lamb, Father God. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you. I trust, believe, and I love you. And I thank God for these men of God on here, and raise up the body of Christ, Father God, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Father, let us be soul winners. And Father, let us always edify who you are and the word of God. And I thank you for the night, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I cover the blood and lamb. Amen.
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 Okay.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless everybody. Okay. I want to say good night. Okay. May you have a blessed night, everyone. Thanks for calling in, everyone. So I will see you tomorrow at 5 p.m. for God's Rainbow Ministry presents I'm sorry.
Take your time.
Okay, God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church. Okay? All righty. So God bless y'all.
Good night, and y'all have a blessed and prosperous night in Jesus' name. I love you, brother. Pastor Ken, call me, because you forgot to call me yesterday.
I will. Okay, I'll make sure
shalom.
I won't fall asleep. I'll give you a call.
All right,
okay.
Shalom. Bye-bye.
Amen. God bless.
God bless,
everybody.